Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Second down and six for the Jets as they trail here in the second quarter. McCown under center. Ball is snapped now. There's a break in the game. There's a fan on the field. Some idiot Jets fan just ran right through the line of scrimmage. So play is stopped. And oh, McCown threw the ball at him. And the fan caught it. Wow. Oh, and the Bills have tackled the fan. Boy. Well, that'll teach him a lesson. He'll never run on a professional football field again. That looked like it hurt. But he's a what? A receiver? No, a fan. Ardare what? Ardarius Stewart? Ardarius Stewart. Oh, I'm sorry. That is a Jets wide receiver. It's not a fan. Pass complete there to Ardarius Stewart, who is a real NFL receiver. My mistake. Third down coming up.
That's not too different from the Bills' reality here, is it, though?
No, it's not.
The Bills are throwing to guys that we didn't know were real guys.
Right. I think last week, early in the game, the first time they either threw the ball Thompson's way or he caught a pass, I said to you, who's 10?
10.
It's like, who's 10?
If you do that this week, I'll be nervous.
Right. We know who he is now, but like, oh, yeah. That guy they signed on Tuesday. Okay, good job, guy.
Joining us now is a man that knows this building very well, but I don't know has ever been in this room. And I was going to start with, like, we're back here in 2005, but now that doesn't really work because we played the clip. Greg Bauk, longtime, two-time producer of this show.
That's never been beaten.
I just want to say, with love, I want to add here, Area Funny Man. You hate that, right? You hate Area Funny Man?
I've never heard it.
Funny Man.
I needed to marinate.
And now, author, illustrator? What do you want there?
Well, he's been an author. The Frank
oh, that's
Dates
right. That's
came
right.
out a yeah. few years ago.
Where? How long till we get to Renaissance? Am I pronouncing that correctly?
I've been asking that question every day.
You've got a coloring book.
I did a coloring book. And since you're on my way home, I thought I'd infiltrate your show and beg off coming on to talk about it until Mike asked three times.
Yeah.
And then I accepted the invitation to come on and talk about it.
Yeah.
No, I did a coloring book called What It's Like to Be a Fan in Buffalo. And I think it's pretty accurate.
Should we ask you what it's like? What is it like to be a fan in Buffalo?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, Mike. I made a coloring book that explains exactly what it's like to be a fan in Buffalo.
Being a Buffalo sports fan is like smoking. There's no benefit, but you'd go nuts if you quit. And then there's a picture of some guys smoking on a couch, watching the game. There's a dog, there's an ashtray. Yeah.
The cover...
The dog is smoking.
Which is in color, of course. The rest of the book is waiting for you to do your own thing with.
Yeah.
Thus, it's a coloring book. And, you know, might make a nice... I don't know, stocking stuffer for the kids, is a man shaving with what appears to be a piranha.
Yes.
Do you want any idea like what the theme of this is like?
That's imagery I've never considered.
Right.
Shaving with a fish.
That's what I was going for.
Is this the author's suggestion of what colors kids we should use when we do this?
Are you talking about me in the second person? Yeah. No, you can do whatever you want. You don't even have to color it. It's got words and pictures. The idea was I wanted to do a book about being a fan in Buffalo and just how miserable and gut-punching the experience is.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the guys at Store 716 and said, do you like this idea? And they didn't get it. I'm not sure that they even do still, but they're I'm not really exaggerating. But they said, why don't we make this? They said, why don't we make this a coloring book? And the idea was stress relief, coloring. People are doing that now. I've colored. So I thought that was like a
You've
good...
colored.
They thought that was a good angle to spin on it to make it more like Chris is saying, excuse me, Bulldog saying, a gift thing. I don't know who Chris is. I've never met a Chris. Like to make it more of a gift thing. Mm-hmm. So
that, you draw.
Yeah, I used to a long time ago. I took drawing in college as a credit. That was the last time I think I actually drew a picture of something. So that would have been about 20-something years ago. No, but well, it stays with you.
Some of these drawings, I did have to thumb through here to make sure that you didn't find a way to work the artist rendering you made of the news conference that never happened when Peyton Manning was leaving the Colts and he was going to come to the Bills and Buddy Nix was there to introduce him and he patted him on the back and his head fell off and blood started spurting all over the room.
I did draw then. I remember
that. You drew that. I tweeted that, I don't know, like a year ago. I don't know why. Like it came up. I found it. I don't know where. Did you send it to me?
I tweeted it.
Yeah, I asked for it and you tweeted it and it made that. I mean, that is... Why do you have that? I never asked you.
We joked about it. It was a conversation that happened on the air. Like the Bills, Peyton Manning was going to go to another team. Everyone knew it.
Right.
They didn't know the team yet. And we kind of laughed and said, what if he came to Buffalo? And much like the theme of this book, if Peyton Manning comes to Buffalo, the first thing that's going to happen is his neck is going to break. And he's just going to go out like... he's just going to go out like that. That'll be his legacy in Buffalo. It may have been you said it's going to happen at the press conference when Buddy Nix pats him on the back to welcome him to the stage. So that's what happened.
What I'm wondering is why you hung on to the drawing.
Oh,
like why? That was like how many years ago was that?
Does the Louvre throw out the Mona Lisa on Big Trash Day?
Little known fact
is the Louvre. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah, it sounds good.
We need a fact checker for this show.
It's like watching your friend die every Sunday. That's one of the pages.
Yeah.
What it's like to be a fan in Buffalo.
Coloring books are better visually.
Peyton Manning, yeah. I'm doing the best
How
I
are
can.
They doing on the radio?
I'm doing the best I can, Greg.
Thanks, Paul Harvey.
Right.
You forgot to tell people the page number that was.
I didn't forget. Peyton Manning is actually a pretty good example of this, because when I think about Peyton Manning leaving the Colts and eventually going to Denver, I think of it as I never thought for 5 seconds about him playing here. Like it just was, I don't know if we talked about it on the air at all. Peyton Manning's going to need a new team. Like it, and that was whatever, 6 or 7 years ago. I mean, whatever that was. It just never occurred to me at all that Peyton Manning could play for the Bills. And of course he didn't. And that like is a part of the angst that it's not there'd be if you were to write a book or if anybody were to write a book on this subject that did not have is you know was not illustration centric it was more just like the story that the history of being a Buffalo sports fan, there'd be a part in there, I think there could be a part in there, I think, where you go, yeah, these are things that happen to other people that I didn't even ever think about happening to me.
I have an example for you, Mike. It's like,
Greg comes in to plug his book, and I start talking about another book idea that would be good.
Is it like agreeing to eat a piece of poo for $20, and then you do, and then there's no $20?
No, not that. It's like being at the party of the year, but you're the waiter. You're in the NFL, but you're not really in the NFL.
Yeah, that's the point of that. You know, the Bills obviously would have needed a quarterback when Peyton Manning was going to leave Indianapolis. But not only did we never take it seriously, no one took it seriously. Like, nobody talked about he's going to want to come to Buffalo. Like, that's our existence, right? We just live. That's how we live.
Since Bryce Pop, that's our existence. It was the last free agent that everyone wanted that the Buffalo team got that it was just obvious he was coming here.
Yeah, and now like, maybe right now this all sounds kind of too depressing how the season is going.
The cover is a man. Was any part of piranha?
Was any part of you hoping for a winless season?
You have absolutely no idea. When we got together for the idea, I had some of the pictures done. We got to a point where we're like, okay, we're going to do this. I said out loud, and I said, I'm going to say this out loud. What if they're good? And there was like a 2-second beat, and everyone just started laughing because, you know, they're never going to be good. That's the joke about it. And now they're 4-2. And now, like, I don't want them to lose. I never want them to lose, but it's super bad for book sales if they make the playoffs.
Yeah, imagine somebody looking at this book, What It's Like to Be a Fan in Buffalo, and not getting it.
Yeah.
Right, because the Bills are
I don't get it.
That's right. Oh, so it's good all the time.
Well, I don't understand.
It's like a great tasting beer. Yeah. No, it's
right.
Not.
The next book could be about the, you know, how great it is.
Which is why you should get yours now. Don't wait 5 years for like Eichel to get things ready and for the Bills to be, for the process to happen. Don't wait for the process. Get them now before the process. Right.
Maybe it's the beginning of a series, what it's like to be a fan in all kinds of different in Boston.
That's, yes, you're jumping the gun.
Am I?
Let's stay
on Buffalo moving.
Right,
I keep moving your idea to new places.
You're doing the great. It's your show.
I'm sorry to do that.
No.
What are you doing with your life? I think I know some of this, but listeners who remember you might be curious.
Coloring books.
Besides this.
Oh. I work in advertising for Farm, which is an agency. They're awesome. Man that owns it used to be the general
work
manager
here.
Of this radio station, Larry Robb. Larry's
mm-hmm.
awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Larry treats everyone great, so it's a really cool place. We do fun stuff. I don't know what else to say about it. It's not as exciting as radio, but it's a good job.
Do you miss it, this job?
Oh, every single day, yes.
Really?
Of course I do, yes. I listen like constantly.
Do you still drive around in your car and find yourself wanting to push a button when one of us says something?
The hardest thing ever is when you guys go on tangents about, like you were just doing before I pulled in, like Tony Klein was the joke.
Mm-hmm.
I had three just, you know, ready to go. That's the worst part, is not having the open mic.
Why are you looking at me? I don't know who Tony Klein is.
I thought maybe you would want to say something.
I don't know. There was a reaction in there. I
feel like maybe Ryan will someday not miss that part.
Right? What? Why?
He's good at it.
It's great. He's great. Yeah, the thing about you, now we had so much fun. The thing about you, though, like the best parts were, maybe this is a cliche, like we're not on the air. The best parts were because you can get in, you think of the worst thing. You will think of the worst possible thing. Whatever the, like, just something that you would never want to say out loud. whatever the context would be. Something just really, really horrible. And I would always crack up.
Oh, right before you go on the air.
You would say it. You would say it out loud, and that would slay me.
Yes.
One time it was on the air. Not just saying a thing that's really terrible, but remember the discrimination night at the ballpark?
Oh yeah, the PC night.
Oh my,
PC
Lord.
Politically correct night.
Oh my, Lord.
Politically correct night at the ballpark.
We played it twice.
And
the second time we played it, didn't we play it at the very end of the show and leave?
We left
so
before
no one could call us and yell.
Yes. I think that might have been my last night here.
I think we end, like we stopped at like 52.
Yeah,
heading for the top of the hour. Like, all right, we're gonna leave you with this, and like we got in our cars and got out of here.
I don't know that this is the environment to play it, and things are a little things aren't what they used to be when I was here.
Yeah,
so.
No, that is not a request for that. No, let's not do
it
that.
It was a sprint. It was a sprint.
He was going to the border.
Yeah, that's right.
Just get me out of here.
He was leaving the country. That was what I meant, though. I mean, that was just so great. The Greg Buck thing, like, obviously there's still new Greg Buck because we just heard one that sounds like this year.
I do a podcast and we play them before the podcast. It's a little dumb Bills podcast that you can download after. It's on Trending Buffalo, but it's three stand-up comics. Sean Murphy, Kyle Turner, and I, we talk about the game, but it has absolutely nothing to do with football. I couldn't tell you who the coach of the Buccaneers was. And, you know, like, I don't know. When you leave radio, sports radio, and you don't have to watch the games anymore, like, the perfect example is the Houston Astros are now in the American League. And what's his name? Verlander pitches for the Houston Astros. Like, that blew me away. I thought Verlander had a brother. I'm Googling. Like, I have no idea what's going on in sports. Nothing whatsoever.
And you like that?
It's sometimes like it was. I knew everything. Like, I didn't know why teams won and why teams lost, but I knew position players. Like, I knew basically everything just because you do sports every 20 minutes. At that back then, we did sports every 20 minutes, not this half an hour crap. But you just knew everything just by, like, doing a sports update. And so, you know, my dad would, like, I can impress my dad by knowing who, I don't know,
the coach of the Buccaneers is.
Or Brandon Spoon, you know, like, you know, who's that guy? So, but, yeah, I like watching sports just because I want to watch them, not because I have to.
Probably. Yeah. Almost everybody in the world in a job, even a job that the vast majority of other people would think is the best, has thoughts about not doing that job anymore. You think about, like, well, do I want to do something else? I'm getting older. Do I want to think about doing something else? And I have that thought once in a while. It never lasts. And I know the thing that I would miss the most. Now, my job is different than what yours was, but we work together. The thing that I would miss the most is not following sports. I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind not knowing some of the stuff that now I just either have to know or end up knowing. The thing that I would miss the most is, like, not in terms of relationships, but the thing that I would miss the most about the actual doing the job would be that I need to have the outlet for when I hate something. I just have to. I would miss having the show when something drives, and that can be something really stupid. That can be just like something an announcer says last night on the game. But when it makes me mad, I would have nowhere to go. If I worked at any other job, I would have no place to take that.
I'm pretty sure I would have had an ulcer heading into work the day after Rex Ryan got fired, and not because of that firing, just because of where are we right now. Like, just it's so depressing when you answer that phone and just, you know, you don't hear it on the air because the phone calls that come through, and it drags you down so much. I don't even know what it would be like to answer that phone at this point.
I bet you didn't miss working here when guys were taking a knee for the anthem so much.
Oh my God, yeah, I wanted to bring that up. Yeah, I would not have. I would be gone. I would be homeless, whatever.
Ryan got to some pretty dark places.
Oh, extremely dark places.
There was a day that
banging.
There was a day that Mike wasn't here, and I missed. I'm trying to even, like, during the summer I missed, like, the height of it at some point. I can't remember why that was, but I came back and late in a show one day I started to make a point about Kaepernick and, like, how, I don't know, maybe the Bills are the one team that can't say they'd have to change their offense if they, you know, like, this is, he fits exactly what, you know, he's Tyrod Taylor, just 4 inches taller, you know, just style-wise. And Ryan's entire, his body language, his posture, like, everything changed. Like, I'm sitting right here looking at him, and I just saw him, like, it's like, you know, he's getting ready to get in a bar fight.
Yeah.
And, but it was, you know, it was right near the end of the show, and I just said it, and then, like, that was that. But he just got so tense. I'm like, what did I missed a car accident. Like, I mean, someone treated you bad. Like, what happened in there? Like,
because people are going to call in and say unimaginable things.
Right.
The word gets said. I'm surprised the phone hasn't started ringing because the word's been said, and it just gets going. So yeah, those were. I came from, you know, WBEN, and I thought I was putting those days behind me, the political discussion, and then that happens, and I was like, oh man, I'm right back to where I started. Right back to where I started.
Well, hopefully this conversation brings a little of that back now.
Right. Let's hope.
Well, we can hope. Yeah.
Just so I can see it through the glass a little. Yeah.
Your fantasy team is good. Your way is to not act like you care.
No, I don't really know that much. I'm glad it's good. Of course I am. I don't know that. I don't know why. I'm in three leagues. I've been in the GR1. It has to be 20 years or something like that. Both of those Paul leagues, we'll call them. And I have no idea why one of them's good. But it is.
I lost Aaron Rodgers in one,
so that one's no longer good. But the other one, it's actually, I think I lost a Tunzel's gas mask, but.
I don't remember. Yeah.
We're doing Todd Gurley, I think.
Did we play? I don't remember.
Yeah. I have no idea why it is. Fantasy football is tough. Like, I want to get out, but I can't get out because I don't even bring a magazine anymore because what good is that going to do? I don't know who's good. Like, I drafted Dez Bryant still thinking he was one of the best receivers in the NFL and was shocked to learn he's not still. So
I'm shocked to learn that right now. I thought he was still
pretty good. I drafted him.
Maybe I just need the radio job back or something.
Anything. You don't work here anymore. You got any gigs coming up?
I'll be at Helium the day before Thanksgiving. I'm going to be in Warren, Pennsylvania on November 4th doing comedy. So bring the family.
Where in Warren, Pennsylvania?
I have absolutely no idea.
Good. I was
where really... in Warren, Pennsylvania?
I mean, that's really a stupid question. If you're in Warren, Pennsylvania, where else do you go other than that place where the show is?
You're there already. When you've gone there, you're already there.
Everyone in Warren just kind of hangs out. So there's not really a place as much as it's just an atmosphere.
Exactly.
To answer your next question,
thank you, Greg.
Store716.com is the place to go online to buy the book.
What It's Like to Be a Fan in Buffalo by Greg Bauk. Jeff Erickson, fantasy tips when we come back. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, WGR.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
These guys are unbelievable. Unbelievable. Driving down the lane. They get it. We got a broadcast here and you're worried about a suitcase.
It's Mike Shope.
Unbelievable. These people are unbelievable in this arena. They got security guards, think they're guarding Panic the Pentagon.
And the Bulldog.
Coming over here interrupting me during a broadcast to worry about a suitcase. Unbelievable. Stupid. Totally stupid. Now, at the line.
It's Mike Shope.
Timeout on the floor with a minute 15. We'll keep it here to try to recap. I apologize.
And the Bulldog.
Had a guy reach over my shoulder and tapping me on the shoulder, asking me a question during the drive there by Cameron Bairstow.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Because my suitcase is behind the chair, and he thinks it's too much in the way by these morons that think the terrorists are honing in here on the Mountain West Tournament in Las Vegas.
On WGR.
Well, I feel like the name Cameron Bairstow works well there.
Yes, it does.
It does. Like maybe Evans or something could have been good. Evans at the line. Mountain West works well.
Yes, the whole thing. The whole thing, it's performance art, the whole thing. It's just
I am mad, and everybody's going to know it.
It should be an installation somewhere at an art gallery. I mean, I just love that.
I'd go to that gallery. Let's talk fantasy football. Jeff Erickson, senior editor at RotoWire, on the line. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. I was listening to you today, and I was thinking about, because you guys are making this point, Scott Pianowski from Yahoo is on your show, the RotoWire show on Sirius, and Scott is on this station on Thursday mornings.
Nice.
Yeah, and I like him. I like listening to him a lot. You guys talk about, again today, just how many guys, running backs, really, like how many guys there are to know, how many teams have more than one guy, can't predict them. Tennessee, I mean, it's a list of teams that just like every week it's really hard to predict. So I'm thinking like, is it harder? Is fantasy football harder than ever? Because I've also got your show and your website and all the resources at my fingertips.
Oh, I think it is harder than ever in a couple different ways. One, the platoons that we see at running back and wide receiver even too. We used to have some very narrow trees. We saw, you know, teams that have two, three guys that we get targets, two wideouts and a tight end, sometimes a running back, and you could invest in those guys. Now a lot of teams go four wide. Look at trying to handicap the Saints, for example. Any given week, who are going to be the wideouts that profit? Brandon Coleman scored last week. Ted Ginn went for 144. Ted Ginn, the guy that used to be known for dropping passes all the time. Michael Thomas, in a 52-point game, had 11 yards receiving. I mean, it's when you see 52 from the Saints, you're like, yes, Breeze went nuts. Yes, Thomas went nuts. No, not at all. Now, some of that Sean Payton, he's been tricky to handicap all along. But, you know, you really kind of are hoping that you have a little bit more predictability. And the other factor is that you alluded to is there's a glut of information out there. There are no secrets. It's really rare that we get surprised by an injury. We get surprised by a guy getting benched. It happens every once in a while. Terrell Pryor on Monday night, not even getting on the field into the second half. Mm-hmm. I mean, but he had been trending downward anyhow. You know, there used to be that there was an information advantage and there's a strategic advantage. Now the information advantage is gone and a strategic advantage is a lot harder to discern.
Is there, with all of that information that's out there, do you find that there's a lot of it that is uniformity there, or much like you see in lots of different kinds of media? Sometimes I think this happens with the draft analysis. Yep. You'll get people trying to set themselves apart by taking on sort of, you know, a minority, if not just wild opinion.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And you do see that, and it's, you know, parsing that information, interpreting that information, being able to convey it in a way that's digestible, all are skills. And I think that that's something that does try to help us differentiate ourselves from each other. There's always a case of, you know, attribution error. It happens in every field, politics, sports, you know, economy, you name it, where you get one factoid. and you try to draw a broad conclusion over it. Oh, this was a revenge game. That's why he went off. Oh, he went to the East Coast. That's why they really struggled. Or, no, they had the three guys in their secondary down, and that's why they got passed all over, too. You know, it's correlation versus causation, too. I mean, there's all sorts of things. You know, anybody that's taken a basic statistics course knows some of these concepts. Do they stick with you? I don't know. Not always.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the Bills' defense here, Jeff. So,
okay.
You go about figuring out your projections every week. What is the Bills' defense become in that respect? Like, here's Oakland, and of course Cooper with the huge game last week. You see them play in Buffalo, or anybody play in Buffalo, and think that's a tough challenge?
Yeah, especially because the Bills have allowed 5 passing touchdowns all year. I mean, that's pretty darn good. However, last week was a bad week. They gave up 3 of those, 2 to O.J. Howard with the inventive don't cover the tight end defense. I think that they kind of kept Evans in check until late, but I wouldn't be surprised if they Oakland sees those tapes and said, okay, Jerry Cook, we're going to set you free a little bit. Now, Tampa has 2 tight ends, Brate and Howard, and I think that might have been some of the issue there. So we'll see how much of that comes into play. But, honestly, before this past week, now E.J. Gaines got hurt midway through that game, and I think that was a big deal in that game. But I think, they'll adjust accordingly. Buffalo's still got a pretty stout pass defense. Cooper, everyone's going to be all over him this week after doing their buy lows 2 weeks ago. Hopefully, we had a nice little conversation about buying at the lowest spot possible with Cooper, and then he went off for 200 yards. So made us look smart for the first time in about 3 weeks, so we were pretty happy about that. But, there's going to be a lot of people are going to jump back on that, and I don't know if this is a good week for that.
They might be down Poyer, too, the Bills, on defense back there at safety. So that's half of their secondary that's been so good, if it comes to pass that both of those guys don't play.
Yeah, it's a question of how much pass rush can they get on Carr, because Carr has made a lot of bad decisions when he's under pressure. He wasn't under as much pressure against the Chiefs last week on the Thursday night game. Can Buffalo generate that pass rush? I think that's a big deal.
Jeff Erickson from RotoWire is our guest. Well, Martavis Bryant maybe takes buying low to another level.
Mm-hmm.
Are you interested?
In my scout team only fantasy league, I think he'll be a first round pick.
He'll go high there, yeah. But otherwise?
Yeah. I mean, we don't know. See, the thing is, we have this perception of what his talent level is, but that was pre-suspension. We haven't seen it yet this year. We've seen little glimpses here and there, a couple of home games. But, we really haven't seen too much of that there. The Vikings game is the one that comes to mind where he actually played pretty well. The Bears game, the subsequent week, on the road, he was wide open.
First play.
Didn't let him. He might have had to stretch out a little bit to get it, but it went off his fingers. And that was the very first play of the game, and it completely changed the fabric of that game. And I feel like the 3 years ago, Martavis would have caught that. That's just my hunch, and maybe I kind of wonder. I think a lot of people are like, free Martavis, but maybe Mike Tomlin sees something here and is like, hey, Smith-Schuster is better.
There was
if that's the case, why not play him?
There was a play in the Cincinnati. You're a Bengals fan, right?
Yeah, I'm 1 of 3 on the West Coast. Yeah.
Did you see the play where Roethlisberger threw deep to Martavis Bryant, and Bryant didn't even know the ball was coming, and then they showed Roethlisberger's face, and he was looking at the bench, and the look said it all.
Yeah.
Get this guy out of here.
I don't want to malign the guy too much. We had him on our show a couple of years ago, and it didn't provide a whole lot of insight. Let's leave it at that. We didn't get a whole lot out of that interview. Maybe that's us. I didn't do a good job of bringing it out of him. But
maybe he was high. I don't know. I mean,
perhaps it's possible. But it's interesting. You can tell some guys, they're really plugged in, locked into the game. And I'm sure you deal with this all the time. You have plenty of athletes come on your show, and you can see the ones or hear the ones that really, have this cognitive connection to the game, and others that do not.
Yeah, we stopped asking them. we have Eric Wood of the Bills that, gives us the respect, and maybe one or two other here and there once in a while we'll do it. But like, we just totally stopped asking for players because it's not often that they plug in, as you put it.
Not that
right.
We
have be able to ask the questions you really want to ask. And that's a tough part of that.
Right.
Jeff, if he gets traded, and we talked to a buddy of ours that used to work here that works in Pittsburgh now, who said he thinks there's no way Pittsburgh's going to trade him. They don't like being, meeting demands, so to speak. But if he were to be moved, would he be someone that you would then get interested in again?
Maybe. I don't think it's – I think it's a hypothetical. I don't think they'll trade him. I mean, I really don't because, you know, he's at his lowest possible value right now. It's just like we talk about our fantasy leagues. Don't sell at the lowest point. This is clearly the lowest point, barring another suspension or injury, which case he can just be flat-out released. But, you know, I'm sure teams have come knocking a little bit, and they probably have walked away saying, okay, we're not going to talk right now. You know, it's so rare to see a midseason trade. But, yeah, of course, if he goes to another franchise and they pay something significant for him, yeah, see what happens there. But usually these wide receivers take a while to learn a new offense. That there is an adjustment period. And we've even seen that, you know, with guys via free agency and they've had all a training camp to adapt and they're still slow. So mid-season, I think Joey Galloway is the only significant one I've ever seen traded that actually made an impact with this new team.
You mean you're not including Deontay Thompson yet?
Right.
He wasn't traded. He was just grabbed.
Oh, well, that's right. But still.
Free loot.
That's right.
And, you know, all ports in a storm there. I mean, the fact is they didn't have anybody that really compared to his talents, and it worked out this one week. We'll see what happens. Poor Zay Jones can't hold on to the ball. I'd like to see what he could do, but you know, give him time too. We see a lot of rookies that are, you know, a lot of receivers are much better in year two, year three. But you know, maybe Thompson's worth something. Maybe we'll see. Maybe the Bears, you know, they claimed Dontrell Inman. Maybe he's something.
Yeah.
There. I don't know.
They traded
unlikely,
for they traded for Dontrell Inman. They traded a seventh round pick, I believe, for Dontrell Inman yesterday. More with Jeff Erickson of RotoWire when we come back on WGR. Jeff Erickson, our guest. Jeff, what game for you this week is the most difficult to project?
Oh, there's a lot of them, but I'd like to see, you know, Carolina was awful last week against the Bears. Just awful. I mean, they didn't come. They didn't really even threaten to score a touchdown. Now, this week they face the Bucs, who have a turnstile defense, and I'm kind of curious to see, do we get good Cam or bad Cam? I think in DFS he's a very intriguing play because, you know, he's coming off of such a bad game. He doesn't have that one receiver that really just lights it up. Benjamin's his favorite target, but he's not like a first-tier wide receiver. Do you pair him and Benjamin up this week? Do you go with McCaffrey, who I think can get a ton of targets? It's a really interesting decision to see who kind of prevails in that sort of matchup. I'm actually interested to see what happens with Brady versus the Chargers too. The Chargers quietly have a really good pass defense, great pass rush. Between Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa, really putting a lot of pressure on the passer. If you look at their yards per attempt, numbers are pretty low. You know, is New England just going to take the easy route and run against them because that's what a lot of teams do? Or is Brady the superior force here? Is that really the controlling factor? I'm kind of curious to see which prevails there.
Jeff Erickson from RotoWire on the line. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here on WGR. What do you think happens with Kansas City? I mean, there's so many interesting teams to try to figure out, but like Kareem Hunt has been so good. The floor has been really high on him. But after him, there are like a lot of teams where I'm thinking about Kelce for this, where you just like this, it's not Ertz, you know, at all with reliability. Alex Smith, who was not drafted, right, Bulldog, in our league, not drafted.
Is that right?
Yeah. He's just, you know, putting up an all-time fantasy season. Yeah. What do you see coming?
You know, I think this is going to be a tough game scoring wise for KC. You know, a lot is made out of the no-fly zone, the Denver's pass defense, and rightfully slow. But the run defense is great. They've allowed 3.0 yards per carry, haven't allowed a rushing touchdown all season. This is a bad matchup for Kareem Hunt. And if Hunt can't get going, I think this could be a lot like the Pittsburgh game, where they, hey, okay, Alex Smith, go ahead and beat us, and we're going to get a pass rush on you. If they get that rush on him, they shut down the running game, you know, I think this could be kind of a bad setup. Now, I think Denver's offense is also one of those, like, Oregon Trail, you've died of dysentery sort of offenses right now. But, that makes it interesting. And that itself is, like, how are they going to overcome that? Can their offensive line give Simeon any sort of time whatsoever? I don't know. But, you know, both these teams kind of are fumbling right now and looking for that what was making them work earlier. You know, the Broncos coming off that a two-game losing streak, including that home loss against the Giants, which nobody saw coming. I think that KC's a better team, but I don't know if they put up big numbers. I think it's going to be a slugfest.
Mm-hmm.
Would you think people, daily players, are going to be like all over Carson Wentz after what happened on Monday night?
Oh, for sure.
San Francisco this week?
not just Monday night, but all season long, he's been hanging in the bank.
Right.
And San Francisco's got a pretty weak defense, traveling three time zones, letting Navarro Bowman go, all these things kind of come into play. But they did lose Jason Peters, which is protecting Wentz, so that's going to hurt a little bit. But yeah, I've got Wentz up near the top of my rankings too, and I can't see a reason not to, even with Peters out, I can't see a reason not to go ahead and go with him this week. Him and Ertz, I think, are very bankable, and probably Aguilar too. You know, it's the funny thing is Alshon Jeffrey hasn't really been there so far, and one of the things is Wentz does spread the ball around to a lot of different receivers, so you don't have that one diva receiver that's getting 12 targets a game.
Green Bay is off this week, and with Brett Hundley on the field last week, they lost to New Orleans, which has been better defensively. Did you see enough of that game or think about that game enough to feel like you know with what Hundley is? Like, is it more likely that's just not worth doing and that all of Green Bay's receivers are diminished, or is maybe there's some reason to think differently?
I mean, the reason that you think it might be different is that you have a respect for the Saints' pass rush, which their front four has been very good lately. And maybe that given the bye week, the extra time for Hundley to get more reps. But, you know, they're not practicing during the bye. They had their practice on Monday, and then they go their separate ways until the following week. But, yeah, they get him some more reps. His running gives him a certain amount of floor, but, yeah, it really hurts the wide receivers. Jordy Nelson got four targets in that loss to the Saints, where they're trailing most of the game.
Yeah,
that's pretty telling. I mean, Aaron Jones ran well. That's the one positive, is they've kind of settled on him. That's one guy that maybe you can use regularly. But yeah, it hurts everything. And games against the Bears and Vikings in Chicago, home against the Vikings later, those are going to be bad, tough matchups for them.
How about the Rams? We might have asked you about the Rams the last time you were on, like a month ago, but
we've
just keeping an eye on Sammy Watkins, and there's been almost no numbers there. But they're also good. Like, what do you like about them? Other than beyond Gurley, what do you like about the Rams fantasy wise?
Well, I do like Sean McVay. I like the way they've been creative to open ways up, open things up for him, find ways to get Gurley involved. Go figure. You got this dynamic force. You can throw to him in the passing game, not just run him up the middle. It works. Who knew? But I like that they've been creative all around. Now, I think Sammy Watkins' issue is twofold. One, I don't know if he's ever going to be the guy he was before all these injuries. And two, he's drawn some horrific corner matchups. If you look at their schedule and who they've played all along, it's been pretty tough. Patrick Peterson last week is just the latest example. And he's still got a few of those left. He's got a return match against Richard Sherman. They've got another game against the Cardinals. He faced Jacksonville, and we know what, opposing teams have been rock bottom against Jacksonville in the passing game. So, yeah, I think that's the other reason why he's been kind of shut down. If you don't have time to work those deep patterns, well, the guy that goes deep a lot is going to suffer, especially when he's drawing elite coverage. So that's kind of what's happened here. So I think there's some, you can pick your spots with him. He's just not a guy you start every week.
All right, Raiders and Bills Sunday. Our eyebrows are up around here, Jeff. I mean, it's
we're on alert. Yeah,
we're on alert. 17 straight years without a playoff game. Maybe this year is the end of it.
Yeah, I think you can move the ball against the Raiders. That's for sure. I don't think their defense is much to fear. I think Taylor's a good start. I think obviously McCoy's a good start again. On the other side of the ball, Jared Cook's the guy to watch. We saw what the tight ends did against Buffalo last week. Sure, they'll work on it, but I don't know if the personnel is necessarily there, especially if he said, the safety's not there. That's a big deal. So that's something to watch for. I know a lot of focus has been on Cooper, but I kind of like the Bills here. I think you've got a weapon in Hauschka, too. He's been fantastic. I know he missed one last week, but, generally he's been very good this year. We'll see about the end game coaching to make sure they get left time on the clock to get those kicks off. But
yeah.
Other than that, kind of like a lot of things going on there.
All right. Well, we'll talk again down the road. Thanks a lot for today.
Anytime, guys. Thanks a lot.
Next up, Ryan Gates, Country Gates, and the Nightcap. He might have fantasy advice of his own. He's tanking with one of his teams. Make him defend that. Ryan Gates next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog at Willowbrook Beverage. Tomorrow at 3 here on WGR.
Tomorrow starts the same old thing again.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.